Start the recording. All right. We're gonna turn this on to start with. All right, is that better? There we go. This is kind of a lesson that hit me. And it's amazing what I get. You get driving for an hour at a time and you just, things kind of hit you in the head. Luckily, it's not. I've got a windshield to keep everything from hitting me in the head, but ideas hit me in the head. We'll put it that way. I think most of us have heard of the saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do? That was a big fad or a craze that was happening years ago. I don't know. Some people may still even have a bracelet they wear around that says WWJD. And that what that was supposed to tell us was, or remind us when we look down at that, was what would Jesus do? As we go in our lives, what would Jesus do in this situation? Well, that works. That is a great thing. It actually took, and anytime you can get people to ask questions about Jesus, you're doing good. That is always a good thing. But, you know, I got thinking, and this is just my way of thinking, and it may not be yours. But if you're asking what would Jesus do, sometimes we could let our own personal biases get in the way of that. Because we're asking what would he do in this situation? And we can kind of take and, if we let ourselves go not pay attention to what we learned in the past, we can take and say, well, I think Jesus would do it this way, and kind of step off that path a little bit. You know, honestly, the best, to me, it would have been better if they would have took and made it WDJD. What did Jesus do? Because we look back in his life, and he went through everything that we've ever went through in our lives. Maybe not to the same point, but he has fought with different issues in his life. He was tempted by Satan. He was tempted directly by Satan, not by little issues that we have from time to time, but he was actually tempted by Satan in his life. But then also, as we've seen in the scripture reading there, he took and left heaven. He left the one place that we want to be more than anything else in our lives. We want to all get to heaven. Yet he was willing to take and leave that. And I can't imagine the serenity, the no pain, no suffering, the glory of God. Yet he took that and came down to earth to be like a little child. He took and came down and was born in the flesh, which meant he had to grow. So he has went through everything we've went through from the time we were born, all the changes in our bodies, all the aches and pains that you have when you're a little child, all the heartbreaks and everything else that we've suffered, he suffered the same thing. He could have come to this earth and been, he could have took and actually chose a birth of being a royal. He could have been a prince, which would have made it so much easier on him, because then he would have had the power to take, and nobody was going to mess with a prince unless it was another king. Everybody would take and follow along, and whatever the prince wanted, that's what they would do. But he didn't do that. He chose to have a lowly birth of a carpenter's son, which means he didn't only take and come down here on earth, but he came to earth to be just like us. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have no clue what it means to be royal, what royalty means. When you actually, I mean, I have nothing in common with the royal family in England. I can't imagine what their lives were like. But I can imagine what it's like to be a son of a carpenter, to be a son of a blue-collar worker whose father had to work all the time, just like his did. So he came down to this earth. And not only did he take, like I said, he came down and he started at at birth and had to grow. He had to take, so that means he went through all the emotional changes. He went through all the body changing. He went through all the dealing with friends making fun of him and all this and that. He didn't take and just only come down here to take and be someone who was, I guess you would say, he didn't come down here and he stood out. He blended in. He blended in his whole life. Yet, he never sinned. He, even though people took and made fun of him, he never sinned. One little thing that hit me when I was coming up with this lesson, you know, I always thought that Jesus got the power that he received, or his power actually kind of manifolded itself when he was baptized. Well, then if you think, that doesn't really work. He had to have had his power all along, because otherwise, how would he have turned water to wine? When he actually received that, now this is a question, this is kind of getting off, but when did he receive, when did he have his power? Did he have it from birth? I don't know. That we're not told that. We know that he did have his power before he was baptized. But he had the power to do whatever he wanted to do to anyone he wanted to do it to. He could took and snapped his fingers and turn his people that made fun of him into someone who was non-existent. I mean, they could just snap a finger, they disappear. But he didn't do that. He dealt with that with humility, because that was actually what God wanted him to do. He also took, wow, and he dealt with issues that most of us, I guess you would say, never dealt with, because he knew he had a heavenly father that he needed to listen to, and he also had an earthly father he needed to listen to. So I guess he dealt with things we should do, because we have a heavenly father and we have an earthly father. But he had to take and work, make that work between the two. How do you take and respect your earthly father, but still do what your heavenly father asks you to do? And he dealt with that throughout his life. And then as he took, and as he was growing up, you know, when he was, as he was growing up, he dealt with seeing a pretty girl. He dealt with those things that sometimes turns our head, but he was able to take and control it, because that's what he was supposed to do. So we see that in his life, Jesus did many things that we have done in the past, yet he was able to take and stay the course. Not to say that we haven't stayed the course, but there are times I know I veer when I shouldn't have back in the past. So, but he was able to do this. And then when he started his ministry, you look at it, when he was started choosing his apostles, who did he choose? Did he choose royalty? No, he chose everyday people. He chose people that we can relate to, so we could actually have somebody to take and look at in their lives and say, you know, they're just like me. I mean, the apostles weren't, minus a couple, most of the apostles were not very learned men. They were fishermen. They didn't have the greatest schooling, but they had a skill, just as we have skills. So we can look back at that upon our lives. But even as he started his ministry, once he started choosing his disciples, where did he go? Did he take and go to the finest places, establishments to eat? No. Who did he eat with? Well, we can see that in Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. It says, "As Jesus," and this is right after Jesus had healed a paralytic. It says, "As Jesus went from here, from there, he called a man, saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?' But when Jesus heard this, he said," and this is Jesus, "he said, It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. So he didn't only, he could have took and he does go to the synagogues. He does go there to preach and to teach them. But he went and spent time with the sinners. He went and worshiped or took and sat down and he broke bread with them to try and help them, to try and teach them. I was hoping Brother Bill would be here this morning, but he's not. But he's told me a story. He's an ex-Marine, ex-biker, and a trucker. And he said, you know, I still go to the biker bars. And I kind of looked at him funny when he said it. He said, but, he said, I drink non-alcoholic. I sit there at the bar. And he said, I've had more than one person come up and tell me, you know, I couldn't believe that you're able to do that, but you were. But that example right there gives people an idea of what, that you don't have, just because you're in a bar doesn't mean you're drinking. He goes there to take and help build people up. He said, I love being there because of the camaraderie of the people riding motorcycles. He said, but I don't drink while I'm there. He said, I don't drink. He said, I just take and whatever he's got in his hand. He said, non-alcoholic, whether it's a Coke or a glass of water or whatever. And he said, I put up with all the kidding, the joking, and everything else. But others have realized, you know, you don't have to be drinking to be in here. So others have started turning and doing the same thing. So just like with Jesus went here to the sinners, we can do the same thing. We can take and go to the people who are struggling in their lives and actually take and give. And just by them seeing us being there, give them, you know, I'm not drinking, I'm not doing this, or whatever the situation is. You can still hang out with your friends. You can still take, if you control yourself, can still go to where you used to go and be a proving force, an improvement for others, to help them take and see that there is a way, another way of doing things as well. And another thing that we can see about Jesus, and we've all heard it, we all know it. What else did Jesus do in his life? The number one thing he did in his life, well, number one, two, and three. You can look at it however you want to. He went to the cross. He died and he was resurrected. Why did he do that? He did that out of love. He did that for the love of his brothers and sisters. He did that for us. There are many points that I could have brought out about Jesus' life and what he did. But if we look back and say, what did Jesus do in his life? We can find an example of how we need to take and live our life. If I know I've had it in the past and I've done it, what would Jesus do? I let my personal bias get into it. Because I take and, well, I can do it this way and not this way. If I look back and I say, what did Jesus do? How did he live his life? Then I have to take and follow Jesus. I can't take and put Jim's ideas in my own in that thinking. And that was something that, like I said, it just hit me. It was like, that was a great thought. What would Jesus do? But you can let that personal bias get to involve yourself in it. So if you take and look at your life, you come up on an issue, not what to take and what would Jesus do, what did Jesus do? Jesus come to this earth as an infant. He grew up so that we would have somebody to look at, to take and realize that he's went through the same things we did. He didn't come to this earth and start out at the age of 25. He came to this earth and started out at the age of zero, day one. He grew up. As he grew up, he took and had to deal with the things that we deal with on a daily basis. He dealt with the issues that we deal with. Maybe not exactly the same, but they are the same issues. Nothing is new under the sun. He dealt with the same things that we've dealt with. Then he took and and when he did start his ministry, he went to everybody. Not just to those who have the $50 suits and the $1,000 cars or whatever. He went to everybody. The sinners, the tax collectors. And then he went into the synagogues to the rich and talked to them as well. And then when it was all over, when his ministry was coming to an end, he took and did the ultimate thing. He took all of our sins from the beginning of time until now and put them on himself. He went to the cross out of love for us to give us that joy, that gift up in heaven to him if we just follow him. And that is something that that is what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did for you, for me, for everyone in this world. Not just us. He did it for the world because he wants all of the world to be with him in heaven. He doesn't want just a select few. He doesn't want the 144,000. He doesn't want, as some believe. He wants us all to take and have that, to be up there in heaven with him at the end of our time. So as you're going about your life, just think about, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do for me? Would be a better way to say it. What did he do in his life? And what kind of an example did he give me to look at so that I can take and become a better person and to actually follow him? If anyone has anything at all that they need, prayers of the church, they need to be baptized, or if there's anything that we can help you with at all, I wish you would please come as we stand and sing the invitation song.